not, 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 not,
say, what's doing, boy?
Oh, man, I'm just scatting and going right on to town, Satchel Mouth. When your sweetie tells you everything will be okay, I'll just... If you feel like shouting, advertise it just this way.
Broadcasting before and probably after the rapture. It's the Drew Marshall Show.
Words you use at any time. Sing this silly language without any reason or rhyme.
All right, we're back. Thanks for tuning in. You are listening to the Drew Marshall Show, streaming live at drewmarshall.ca, and live right here in Southern Ontario, covering a population of 6 million. Can you believe there's 6 million people in this neck of the woods, Mayor? Isn't that crazy?
That is nuts.
6 million.
That's a lot of people.
For some reason, I feel like Mike Myers. 6 million people. Anyway, our next guest is Sarah Dorman. She's the author of If You're a Christian and Everybody Likes You, Something's Wrong. Really, she could have just written that, if your name is Drew Marshall. No, that doesn't work.
No.
Sarah Dorman is an author, counselor, mother, advocate, and Christian. She is known to tell it like it is, and in her most recent book, If You're a Christian and Everybody Likes You, Something's Wrong, she offers readers a self-reflective journey in what it means to be a Christian in today's society. Sarah is also the co-author of the book, I'm Pregnant, Now What? I read that one. That made a big impact on me.
Been there, done that.
And so, seriously, and so you want to adopt Now What? Written with Ruth Graham, of course, one of the daughters of the Big Grahams. The Big Grahams, that's what we call them. Reverend Dr. Right Honorable Lieutenant Grahams. And published by Regal Books. As an experienced and humorous speaker, Sarah brings a refreshing and honest look at some very difficult issues from Christianity to adoption. She has been a speaker for the Ruth Graham and Friends Ministry and has also spoken for pro-life church groups and women's organizations. Sarah has served on the board of Amnion Crisis Pregnancy Center. I hope I said that right. Ruth Graham and Friends Ministry, and is currently on the board of Hope Pregnancy Center in Philadelphia. This lady doesn't sleep, apparently. But she joined us today on the show. Sarah, how are you?
I'm well, Drew. How are you doing?
Quite well. You and I actually have known each other for a wee while. I'm trying to think back to when the first time was that we hung out and were pals and stuff. Was that at a Kathy Lee thing?
I think so, and it was probably more than 10 years ago by now.
What did we actually meet in New York at one of her plays?
No, because you avoided me.
That's what I do.
It's a Drew thing.
That's a spiritual gift.
Yeah, yes, it is.
So we've ever...
Which I'm grateful, I might add.
But we've had some great conversations over the years. I think the first time we had you on the show was to talk about one of your first books. And, of course, mm-hmm. your straightforwardness is what attracted me to you. And I need to ask you, what attracted you to me?
I'm still working on that. I'm not sure.
And that's all the time we have for Sarah Dorman. All right. Well, congratulations on a book well-titled. Let's find out about the guts of it. If you're a Christian and everybody likes you, something's wrong. I mean, is this just a sort of a slam on the mamby-pamby, you know, liberal, tree-hugging Christians that are out there?
You could say that, but I didn't. I think what it is, it actually, the book came about, Drew, I'm going to say 5 or 6 years ago. I started writing more or less as a journal. I was journaling because of an experience, a spiritual wall I had hit, and I started to write about it. And I realized that part of the problem that I was experiencing is I was more influenced at the time, at least, by what was going on in the world and who liked me and who didn't like me than what my faith taught me.
Right.
And I realized as I did this, I wasn't alone. I've come to the conclusion more people are interested in what others think of them than they are what God thinks of them. Now, the book originally, obviously, was written specifically for the Christian community, but I've been blessed to work with two women in the process who have said this book is for everybody. Whether you're a Christian or not, it's a book that everyone can gain something from. And I just wanted, you know, it's tough living in the world today. I mean, it's just, you know, it's the world's a mess. I know you're in Canada where everything's beautiful, but down here it's a mess. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And to be a Christian is difficult under the best of circumstances, but when you have the forces of everything coming at you, it makes it even more difficult. So basically what I did was I took 10 topics, 10 subjects, obedience, truth, love, forgiveness, all the things you would think, and just put them in there. Here's how this can work in today's world in 2016. And that was the whole thrust behind the book. But I do think we've become complacent. I do believe Christians have compromised. I say what used to be the straight and narrow has become the wide and windy.
Right.
You know, and
okay,
that's
the pushback for this kind of stuff is, what do you say to those who go around saying, you know, we got to take the Bible literally. We got to take it seriously. And what they're really saying is, we need to take the Bible literally the way they take it. Because there are that particular person who's saying it, because sociologically speaking, we are looking at how we interpret the Bible as well. And
right.
Everybody thinks that their interpretation is the right interpretation.
Of course. And, you know, I said in the book, do you take it literally or seriously? I think you can take it both. Did Noah build an ark? Did Jonah get swallowed by a whale? If you want to believe that that's literal, that's fine. I'm not saying that it is or that it isn't. What I'm saying is that God put those stories in there, or those events in there, if you choose to believe it's literal. And again, I'm not coming down on either side right now, but I believe that there's a message. The message is obedience. Do what I tell you. It's not that complicated. And I think he's used every means possible to get us to do that. So far, it's not working. But I think, yes, everybody has their own interpretation. As they say, you put 10 pastors in a room and throw out a Bible verse, and you'll get 10 interpretations. That's absolutely true. But I think it's the spirit of the message. It may not necessarily be the literal words of the message. It's what Jesus is trying to teach through his parables and through the message.
Yeah. Okay. So, Mayor, I'm looking at you. You and I are probably similar pages theologically. We've had similar backstories. We're not sure. You know, we've struggled spiritually throughout our lives.
Absolutely.
Fair story?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So one thing that gets weird in this conversation, Sarah and Mayor. Oh, by the way, I'd like to introduce you. Mayor, this is Sarah.
Sarah.
This is Mayor.
Yeah,
Mayor. Hi, Mayor.
Hi.
Is the word grace, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
you get
the one bunch of Christians that will say grace is sufficient and it's okay. You know, Jesus was actually Lord of the losers, so welcome to the club.
Right.
And then there's another group of people that say, well, yeah, there is such a thing as grace, but there's also such a thing as go and sin no more, so knock it off. Where does your book fall?
My book falls somewhere in the middle. I believe that I believe God's grace is endless. I believe grace is something all of us need every day. Yes, go and sin no more. That's nice. Yes, wouldn't it be nice if we could all do that? But I don't think, I mean, that's the goal, but I don't think that's a goal any of us are going to reach this side of heaven.
That's where your obedience part that you were talking about
before. Obedience is, you know, it's... Obedience doesn't feel good, and it doesn't look good sometimes to other people. But nevertheless, it's what God calls us to do, and it's tough. It's a tough, when you're faced with that fork in the road, you know, it's tough to pick the right one, even when you know which one it is. And sometimes we don't even know which one it is.
Now,
but I think grace is a wonderful, wonderful gift. Frankly, I've used it daily.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of like the bottomless cup of coffee at my local.
There you go.
Okay, so you said earlier it's hard for Christians to live in this world of ours. First of all, they're not going to live anywhere else unless they're a Scientologist. Then got a few options. Secondly, okay, hard for Christians to live in this world. I don't really actually get that. I don't understand that, because I think we're now talking about, well, if you live a certain way, you're going to get persecuted, and that leads me into this conversation. The amount of Christians that go around whinging about persecution, they're getting persecuted because they're idiots. They're socially retarded. They're not getting persecuted because they're following the word of the law. They're getting persecuted because they're legalists, and they're just socially bizarre human beings.
And there's a time and a place for conversations.
Time and place, exactly,
right,
yeah,
right. Yeah. Right. Well, and I address that. I said Christians often are known for what they're against rather than for what they're for.
Absolutely.
And there are groups of Christians out there that make the rest of us that are trying to do it the right way look bad. And I agree with you. I mean, the Westboro Baptist Church would be the first one that would come, I think, to most people's minds, at least down here.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
They show up and make fools of themselves every time they can. But when I meant that it's tough to live in this world today, it's just the onslaught of social media, the temptations, the options that we're given as adults, as young people, as teenagers. It's just really hard to keep your focus where it's supposed to be. And the title of the book, If You're a Christian and Everybody Likes You, Something's Wrong, you know, Christ hung on a cross because of the way he lived his life, and he's our example. Now, I don't know about you, Drew or Mayor, but I know I'm not in danger of being hung on a cross because my life is such an example. And I believe if that's what that's what I'm talking about. We're, you know, if we say certain things, if we take a stand for what the Bible teaches us, we're going to be looked upon as bigoted, racist, homophobes, and every other word you can think of.
So how do you deal with that? How do you push that away and stand your ground?
I just say, you know what? I didn't make this up. This wasn't my idea. I've often, when I've spoken to groups, I would say, you know, when you buy a new car, you get an owner's manual written by the people who built that car, and if you do what it says, the car will keep running. The Bible is my owner's manual written by the guy that built me, and I try to follow it, and I'll keep running a long time. The laws, the teachings of Christ are the teachings of Christ. I either choose to follow them or I don't. I am not against if I come out and say I am against gay marriage, I'm castigated by a certain percentage of the population. Mm-hmm. But yet I have gay members in my family. And I love them. I don't hate gay people. It's loving the sin or hating the sin. I take my stand. It's God's word, not my word.
How about loving the sinner and hating your own sin?
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, I can do that too. Of mm-hmm. course, absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely. But you have to take a stand.
So
you can't just pick and choose what you want to follow.
Right. And an example of this recently that I can bring to light is when my friend Candace Cameron Bure was on doing a book tour, and in her book she talks about her submitting to her husband Val.
Oh, I know. That just hit the fan.
Oh, yeah. It was a huge thing, right? Like how women submitting to their husband.
Vote.
Oh, my goodness. And it actually led into a very interesting and dynamic conversation. People were thinking that she was just this little pushover and madman woman, you know, walking around being stepped on. But that's not the case. If you've ever met Candace, that is certainly not the case. But also, I think the young kids these days...
Grandpa.
Yeah, thanks. The young kids these days, they will say things like, oh, come on, how do you take the Bible literally? Really, you're going to take a book that was written so long ago for men that were, you know, had problems with sand in their backside, you know, and the illiteracy and the whatever else, and culturally speaking, it was a totally different thing. You're going to take that book and you're going to actually, that's going to be your guide for life. You're going to do everything that book says. What do you say to that person?
Well, what I would say to that person is, yes, they're right. The book was written by men with sand in their behinds, but the fact of the matter is they were inspired by God, by the living God, the creator of the universe. So I'm going to have to accept that his word was, as he says, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. What he said is as applicable when it was written, in my opinion, as it is today. And I know, I remember when Candace went through that. If you know me well enough, Drew, to find this humorous, but my husband said in a Sunday school class one time, my wife is one of the most submissive people I know.
Really?
And of course, yeah, exactly. And gales of laughter ensued. and, you know, but it's the misunderstanding. It's not knowing what the word submissive means. I'm anything but somebody who you can walk on.
Yep.
Submissive means trusting the man who's the head of your house, trusting your husband. I submit to my husband's authority. Doesn't mean I don't have my own mind, my own opinions, and it doesn't mean I don't express them. And I think that's what Candace came out saying. But I think you have to... look at the Bible. You know, you can look at the Old Testament. Yes, and it says you should stone unruly children. Okay, we've passed that now.
That was the one part I was going to sign off on.
I have three of them.
I know. I'm sorry. But anyway, in the New Testament, Jesus came to fulfill the law, and the law is being in the Old Testament. I just think that the issue, you said it right at the beginning, the issue of grace is really what it's all about, loving and grace, forgiveness. That's one of the chapters. That's a huge thing, being able to forgive. I mean, really, I don't know how much of the book you were able to get read, probably not as much as you'd like, if any, and that's okay. But I think you have to take each chapter and it stands alone. You can read the first chapter today and the next chapter next month, and it won't matter. But, you know, forgiveness is a huge thing. Confession, prayer, loving one another.
Yeah, you know, let's talk about confession just for a second. And I just want to let everyone know, again, we're on the phone with Sarah Dorman. She's the author of If You're a Christian and Everybody Likes You, Something's Wrong. Website is sarahdorman.com. That's S-A-R-A, no H. Dorman,
no
D-O-R-M-O-N. You can go to our website and click on it there, and that'll take you to it. So confession is a big word for me these days because I think that's an interesting dynamic. Confessing to each other, confessing to an inanimate object or an invisible entity, there is just something cathartic about confessing. As I said, mm-hmm. whether you're confessing to a rock, to space, to a tree, to your wife, to your kids, to your friends, mm-hmm. to a priest, there's something cathartic about confession. Do you think, I mean, am I overselling confession? Is that an easier?
No.
It's an easy sell, I think, confession. Do you not?
I think confession's an easy sell for everybody. It's easy to sell. It's hard to do. Hmm. Because when you confession means you're admitting you've done something wrong. Mm-hmm. And most people don't want to do that. And confessing to somebody else or even going to and asking forgiveness of somebody else, confessing what you've done or something, that's a hard thing to do. Yeah. Number one, people base confession, like you say, you confess to God, God forgives your sins. People can confess and not feel forgiven, not feel as though their sins have been taken away because we base an awful lot of our lives on how we feel. And I think you have to believe in your heart. God says if you confess your sins, you are forgiven, period. Mm-hmm. It's that you just are. Whether you he doesn't say only when you feel forgiven are you forgiven. No. If you confess your sins to God, he forgives you. But it's a freeing. It's a healing. It's a letting go. It's a weight off your shoulders.
Sarah?
Yes, sir?
I got a question, but I don't know how to formulate it. I think it has more to do with, you know, how do you make sure that you don't climb up on a high horse with this, hey, grow up, Jesus people, and take this seriously and get your spiritual fecal matter together? You know, how does that not sound pious? And how do you not look in the mirror at yourself, as I have many times, and say, who are you kidding, Marshall?
Because that kind of attitude pushes a lot of non-Christians away. When somebody's
on a... What attitude is that, Mar? What kind of attitude?
What Drew's implying, saying that you're on your high horse.
When you're exhorting
you
other people.
Yeah, you could be perceived in that way. It pushes a lot of people away, allows people to paint with a broad brush, right?
Right. Well, okay. And I agree with you 100%. First of all, I have an amazing group of friends who will not allow that to happen. They will remind me on a daily or hourly basis of what a schmuck I really am, which I'm already very much aware of. Plus, if you read the book, you can see Delilah, our good friend Delilah Drew. She wrote the foreword of the book. And one of the comments that she wrote in the foreword was how I didn't come out as preachy. The book does not come across as being preachy, like I've got the answers and here they are, folks. Not at all. And I don't have all the answers. I'm 70 years old and have far more questions than I do answers. Hmm. And but I'm just trying to share what I've learned on the journey, my almost 50-year journey with the Lord.
Well, you are an interesting cat. You are a cat. What am I? The beatnik's called, and what they're saying back. You're a very interesting lady. You're a great communicator, and I wish you the best with this book. If anybody's going to have a little chutzpah in their writing, it's going to be you. Ladies and gentlemen, Sarah R. Dorman, author of If You're a Christian and Everybody Likes You, Something's Wrong. And again, the website is sarahdorman.com. SarahDorman.com. Sarah, I hope you have a great weekend. And
you too, Drew. Thank you so much. I really appreciate this.
Yeah, you're very welcome. It's good to chat with you.
Okay, good to chat with you. Thank you, Mar.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, there you go. What do you think of that? I don't know what to do with that one.
Yeah, me too. It's
because here's the thing. None of us like being convicted about our behavior, right? It's mm-hmm. like, you know, when you I remember walking outside after having a conversation with somebody and somebody was having a smoke. And they looked at me and went, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Because they immediately thought that I would kind of throw some judgment on, throw some shade on them.
Yeah, yeah.
Little do they know that happens to me every once in a while. And I just, you know, and I don't know. I'm just so over the judging thing. But I do think that there's a – you can go the other way too, right? You can get a little too, whatever.
Nothing that you stand on. No morals, no nothing.
No,
right?
And it just feels like shaky ground, right? Yeah. I keep using the word from a sociological point of view. I like saying that because it makes me sound smart.
I think it depends on your personality, too. Like, I'm a person who cares about what other people say or think about me way too much.
Yeah.
Way too much. So standing on my ground, people pleasers find this very difficult to be a Christian in today's society. I totally understand that.
Yeah. Well, I'm still glad we had her on because she's a good communicator. Yeah. And that's fun to chat with her, mm-hmm. Sarah Dorman. All right, a short break. We'll be right back.
Hey, don't be among the late ones. Change your dancing ways.
Putting the ain't in saint, you're listening to Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show.
You gotta swing and grab your gal and do that thing. Learn that jig time dance.